Hello and welcome to Disney Magic Hour, episode number 131. On this week's show, we're going to give you a whole bunch of news and we are going to be reseeding the Flower and Garden Festival over at Epcot. To my left, as always, is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Joining me via Skype from the Main Street Gazette is Ryan Wilson. Say hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
And from the windy tundra that is the Carolinas, we have Courtney Van Ren. Say hello, Courtney.
Hello, Courtney.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. This episode of Disney Magic Hour is brought to you by MEI Travel for all your vacation planning needs, for visiting Walt Disney World, taking a cruise, going to Universal, looking up some flowers. Visit the experts over at mei-travel.com, where Becky and her team can get you started on your own adventure. Right now, you're listening to There You Are. You can find this track and more over at soundcloud.com/pogomix. His website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at DizMagicHourPod. We are on Facebook if you search for Disney Magic Hour. And you can find this show on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. If you didn't know that, I don't know how you found your way here, but congratulations. Melissa, where can everyone find the Instagram and the Patreon?
If you head over to Instagram, it's at Disney Magic Hour Podcast. And the Patreon is at patreon.com/DisneyMagicHour to find ways to support the show there.
And so for the Patreon people, I think we have a screening coming up this Thursday of The Avengers.
Yes.
We're all going to watch The Avengers in anticipation of Infinity Wars. Ryan, where can everyone find the Main Street Gazette?
At mainstgazette.com. If you're looking for us on Instagram or Twitter, it's mainstgazette as well. And if you search for Main Street Gazette on Facebook, you can find us there too.
And Courtney, DMH Book Club, tell me about that and where everyone can find it.
Well, you can find the DMH Book Club on Facebook at DMH Book Club. And we're currently reading Peter Pan, which is a combination of exciting and horrifying. So please join us for that.
What's going on in that thing?
Oh, I mean, spoilers. So I don't want to like say too much, but Peter Pan is kind of creepy.
All right. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
He's kind of creepy in the movie. Animated.
Oh, it pales.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Does he try to eat anyone's hands?
He does not, but he does feed people strange things.
Hands?
Not hands.
All right, well.
Maybe other live animals, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
A raccoon?
It's a lot. It's not a raccoon.
Not a raccoon?
Not
mouse?
A
mouse?
Raccoon?
A raccoon.
Yeah.
News! We got news to talk about this week, everyone. Oh, by the way, how's everyone doing? We're back. It's been a little while. It's been a while since all four of us were on a show together. We've had shows, but not with all of us around because getting away from murder charges has been a big thing with us recently, especially Courtney Van Rens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a hardcore murderer, so
yeah. What these things happen.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you go see the movies in public with other people. Murder.
Yeah.
Murder. By the way, speaking of murder, I saw A Quiet Place, and I must have been the only person that I know of who actually got to enjoy that movie in relative silence, which is the biggest irony of all time. Oh, you saw it as well? Was it good?
Yeah, it was good, and it was relatively quiet. Our theater was pretty respectful, and we went on a Tuesday night, so it was...
Okay. That's the hottest night to go, I've heard. Tuesdays. Yeah. Now, I went and I sat in the front row because that's where other people weren't. And the only time I heard anyone was during a very, very, very quiet sequence. And I just heard a woman say, "Oh, my God." And that was it. And I kind of appreciated that. I was like, I kind of fit in that moment, you know. I'll just tell you, Courtney, it was when something went swimming.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I did that, too. I leaned over to Jim and I, like, into his shoulder, I was like, "We're all gonna die." It was not good.
So if you haven't seen Quiet Place and you want to see a good flick, go see a good. I got to talk to you, Courtney, afterwards, though, about something that really seemed dumb to me. Yeah. There was one thing that was like, well, isn't that obvious? Anyways, we got a lot of news to go through. Universal News, Disney News, other stuff. Well, not other stuff, those two things. So let's start with the Universal News. We're going to start on the bad stuff, and then we're going to work our way up towards the sunshine of the world. So Fast and the Furious opened up for soft opening for cast members. Not cast members. That's not what they call them. Team members. And some of them team members went to the YouTubes and made their reviews. And, man, it's not good. The word is not very positive at all. I have heard that it is better than some recent attractions like Jimmy Fallon. I've also heard from people that actually think it's worse than that because it's you at least expect it a little bit more. It's Kong, like 100% it's Kong. And there's a lot of fog and water being thrown at you. There was one YouTube video I watched where the guy said it legitimately happened like 5 times. Like the same thing like happened like 5 times. He also commented on the animation because, of course, then no one's actually there. The animation in one of the scenes, Vin Diesel is the height of a helicopter, like hanging from a helicopter, but he is equi height of that helicopter.
Cool.
Which
sounds right.
That makes sense, actually. Like that I'm fine with.
He's taking on his group persona in real life is what.
Yeah. I have been told you hear the word party a lot and family, which that all adds up. Like that's definitely that attraction. So unfortunately, I've not really heard anything positive about it. All the things that we sort of assumed once we heard like it's Kong, but without a massive Vin Diesel animatronic growling at you at the end.
They really missed it there.
They really did. If also, he just looked at me and was like, family, family, and then like drove off. But like, all right, yeah, it's worth it.
Every time you say it's Kong, I keep thinking of the it's log.
It's Kong. Yeah. It's Kong. It's big. It's hairy. It's an ape. Yeah, that works. So, yeah, that we'll be on it soon. A couple of weeks. Probably
yeah,
they'll
I did
do like.
See, no, I did actually see somebody put up a picture that it was just in soft openings because there was a line. So I don't know.
I will go tonight.
Okay.
I'll go tonight, and that'll happen.
If they do it tonight. Like, because remember with Kong, it was very...
I know. It's okay. It's a soft opening. They're not going to send me an email being like, you can come now, Pete. I'm like, oh, okay, good.
Well, they should.
towards the brighter side of things, hopefully. Or not, depending on your interests. Actually, no. I thought of a bright spot in this. Okay. So, Nintendo Land in Universal is not going to happen until about 2023. Which is, that's a far way away. That's 5 years.
In Universal Orlando.
Yes. That's the only one that matters.
Why? Because the one in Japan
I don't
will
live
be
in
open
Japan, that's
before,
why.
Well, aren't we going before 2023?
Japan already is Super Nintendo Land.
That's also accurate.
It's been Super Nintendo Land since 1983.
That's accurate. But we're going to probably try and go to Japan before this one opens in 2023.
I can't go to Super Nintendo Land in Japan. Why? My head will explode, that's why.
That would be amazing.
I legitimately think people will die in there.
A pivot to video for that one.
But they'll all be dressed in cosplay, so it'll be fine. And then I'll take photos like, oh, my God, the death wall, you know, and that'll be like a thing that I make popular. Here I come, Instagram. So Pokey, here's the thing, though. This is why it's Pokey. It's being delayed ish because Pokemon is not going to be really part. This is what the words are. It's not going to be part of Nintendo Land. It's going to be its own thing. So that's going to take over the Woody Woodpecker area in the current Universal Studios, also known as the Land of the Dead. So that seems like it's going to get its own little land, but it won't be part of Super Nintendo Land. But Nintendo Land may be much larger than initially thought in that it won't just be like a land. It'll maybe take up a lot more space in the new patch of land, a lot of word land in here. It's like True Detective season 2, where they purchased a large portion of land over near Kirkman Avenue, which if you're a local, you know Kirkman Avenue is the Boulevard of Broken Dreams on the I-4. It's the only exit that goes to the left instead of the right, causing mass confusion every time you drive on that road. So maybe Nintendo is going to be bigger and better than we originally thought. It is 5 years away. That is a Disney-esque date. You know, hearing that Pokemon will be open in a year and a half, though, makes me see a video screen in my future when it comes to that place. But nothing's been officially announced yet, so we really don't know. Because it's already April. It's almost May. To have something done in a year and a half seems, even for Universal, like very, very fast and furious.
It's going to be May.
Ah, fast and furious. Family. I don't know. Does that excite anybody at all to hear that Nintendo's going to get a bigger swatch of land? Cordy is in the no. This dismissive no.
Well, I don't care really about Pokemon, so sorry for anyone else that does. I would rather have Nintendo faster than and not really worry about Pokemon. That's kind of how I feel.
What about Nintendo, though? I mean, the idea that it's going to get maybe probably a bigger thing and they're going to take about 5 years to put it together, does that seem a little more attractive?
I mean, if they're going to make it practical, yeah. It seems more attractive, and it depends on what they're going to put in there, too. I don't know. Do we have any ideas about, like, which properties we're going to have in there yet?
Definitely a Donkey Kong roller coaster and a Super Mario Kart thing. Those are like the two that they showed, like, not a clip of the ride, but they basically promote it as like, okay, these
so
are two
that's
things.
For the attractions.
Yeah, but those will be two big attractions.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if we get like a lot of practical stuff, I'll be happy about that. I like Diagon Alley is and Hogsmeade are successes because they're big, like impressive practical things. So if it's practical, then I think it'll be worth it.
Yeah, I want giant green pipes and blocks everywhere. And yeah. I want to be able to punch the block and make a sound.
Bing. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. No.
Well, I recently went on Expedition Everest.
Mm-hmm.
And those bells are still there, just in case anyone was wondering.
Yes.
They're still there.
And if you're tall enough, you can ring them.
And if you're a kid, you can just jump and hit them anyway. Or your parents will lift you up. So it's all there.
I don't get anyone to lift me up. So.
What?
I can't reach them.
What just climb mean? Up my shoulders, Melissa.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't touch me. So speaking towards Hogsmeade and whatnot, I was recently in that area because I was going on the Hogwarts Express, which then had a fire alarm, which forced me to leave. But while I was there, I was walking up the little ramp, and wow, all the area that was once, you know, Dueling Dragons is full construction, trucks moving and working, you know, as I was there. No, like, nothing built, you know, they're just kind of like prepping the land or whatever one does when doing these things. But that is in full construction swing, so that's kind of exciting. I'm hoping that's... I don't know what to expect from that thing, so that's kind of fun also. They haven't really officially announced anything, and just curious to see what they sort of come up with.
Yeah, what could you come up with since it's like...
Human sacrifices!
No, that didn't happen in Harry Potter.
This is not the Wicker Man.
It did! If it was a Wicker Man attraction? Oh my god.
I had heard that it was going to be a family coaster, which would be weird.
Yeah,
have the Hagrid thing.
I don't mind if it's a family coaster. Actually, I don't really. That's fine. I think, I don't know, though. I guess it's really more the surrounding area. Like, okay, there's a coaster, but is it going to be then that it's just the coaster? Like they're replacing one coaster for another and it's not going to be more stuff to walk through?
They have to put stuff to walk through because they've kind of made that bar for themselves with Gringotts and with Hogwarts. So I can't imagine that they would just make it boring and lame queues.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I'm saying, you know, like Dueling Dragons, that was what that land was. It was Dueling Dragons.
Yeah.
I would expect that it maybe wouldn't take as much track space, but then give you time to build another sort of walkthrough area. But Ryan, what would you want that to be?
Thinking of just tight space, Shrieking Shack, maybe. Like something like that, like just a one-off, like outlying area. I don't know.
But if it was Hagrid, do you think maybe they would just go with Hagrid's hut? But then there's really nothing else around there, right? It's just like trees. Forbidden Forest, right. And Hagrid's hut? Hagrid's
hut maybe towards
the front?
Yeah, that would work.
Maybe like that?
You could have the centaurs. You could have, depending on where you want to set this, you could have Dumbledore's, you know, island, like... Yeah, I think that would be the better way to go, is to give people something to walk through, something tangible that, you know, makes all the Instagrammers happy, and then have, you know, yeah. And there are, there's like three or four different ideas that they're throwing out there right now, but Hagrid's does, like a Hagrid type coaster seems to be the most prevalent.
There was something about the ride vehicles that they were looking into. It like just recently won an award for like things that came out that didn't kill everyone, you know, like, hey. So, when the details come out, we'll talk about it more. There's really kind of no point in like imagining what someone's going to do as they're building it, because they're already going to do what they're doing, I guess. But I, it's moving, at least. It's moving. There's no aim date, although I kind of feel like they'll do something by the end of next year. I would assume, hopefully, it would be done by the end of next year. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. There's going to be a lot of things going on next year, obviously. You know, it's going to be a very busy time around the Florida area. Do not come here. Don't come down here. Do not make your way over. So what else do we have going on? So that's really the Universal news. Some stuff there. I'll go try to check out Fast and Furious tonight. And I don't know. I don't know what to think towards that thing.
Look at the keys on the wall. Apparently there's a wall.
There's a wall of keys
that where he's won races, and apparently like that's where like the fun little name drops are. Like Arthur Weasley's car is in there, Doc Brown's car key is in there. Like,
okay,
that may be the most fun you're going to get out of that experience.
Just Vin Diesel things. That's all I need. Just Vin Diesel things. It should be called Dieseler and Furious Dieseler or something. Just been like an amalgamation of everything that Vin Diesel does. Like your Iron Giant in Saving Private Ryan, that would have been fine. I would have been fine with that. By the way, Universal folk, if you haven't seen Ready Player One yet, there's a chase scene that happens at the beginning that features three kind of, not kind of, I guess three iconic Universal, was it three? Wait a minute. There's the T-Rex from Jurassic Park. There's King Kong. I felt like there was another one. Oh, the fact that you're in the DeLorean. Yeah, that was what it was. So you have three pieces of Universal lore right there. Guys, come on. You know, if you're going to do something with movies, why can't we start doing it with movies that don't suck? Can we? Please?
No.
Yeah, I know.
And that even makes sense. Like, you know, Universal is so screen dependent. It makes sense to put that on a screen.
So perfect. It would be so good. It'd be so good. Anyways, here's hoping that things get away from the screens over there. I understand the whole, like, they have only so much space. But Fast and the Furious is a very large footprint. That's a big building. There's no way that there wasn't any other option. It's just because it's cheaper to kind of run those sort of things. But I have faith in the future, if not so much right now. Disney news. Let's hop over to some Disney news. The Disney Fox merger. A lot more complicated than like they originally announced. It was like, hey, it happened. Remember when that happened with Marvel and LucasArts? Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, it's done. Have a nice day, everyone. We'll see you in a couple of months and we're going to start making the announcements. The Fox Disney thing is a lot larger. It's actually not really done yet. So it could take up till, according to Cinema Blend, they were saying it's going to take up to about 18 months. To kind of clear all the regulatory things and all the legal whatever it is. And summer of next year is when it could be finalized. Like that's sort of the hope date. So there's a lot of time between then and now where things might go awry. So nothing is settled yet. So if anyone was hoping to see like the X-Men or something show up at the end of Avengers, don't think that's going to happen. You're going to set yourself up for a disappointment very, very possibly. It's not going to happen yet. If anything, it'll happen eventually, hopefully, but just not yet. And in that area, I kind of wanted to talk about me and Courtney. We talked about Fox Searchlight, and we initially brought up our concern about Fox Searchlight, you know, not being what it is once Disney owned it, because Disney hasn't been doing films like that in forever. And we were then calmed. I think it was Iger himself who said, like, we're not touching Searchlight. We're going to let them do what they do. And in new news with Fox Searchlight, I just thought this was fun to bring up. Guillermo del Toro did sign a big contract with them. So he kind of has the keys to that place right now to, you know, do as he wishes until something really does poorly. Which Guillermo del Toro, up till recently, is not a box office dude. Like, it's never been his thing. So I don't know, you know, but Fox Searchlight is not someone who's dependent solely on that kind of thing. I don't think that this, you know, this is no reason to think that all of a sudden Guillermo del Toro and Disney down the line will work together on things that they said they previously would, like Haunted Mansion. But at least it shows that Fox Searchlight is still kind of moving along at their own pace and doing their own thing. So I didn't know how anyone felt about that. You know, do you still harbor any concern, Courtney, about the whole Searchlight down the line?
I don't really. I mean, Disney is capable of letting independent, well, the independent branches of their studio do their own thing. I mean, they've done that in the past. So I would think that that would be successful as long as they stick to that agreement. And it would be, I think it'd be fine.
Yeah. I don't think that Guillermo del Toro, I'm just like, you know, fan shipping here, I guess, really. If in a year and a half that deal happens, he obviously has his deal with them. By that time, he'll be somewhat into his first movie, which I think already has a title and whatnot. I think it's called Antlers. I would not think instantaneously like, oh, they're going to do something together now. I just really wouldn't. Because there'd be no reason for him to do that and give up what he's got now over at Searchlight. And, you know, we all want that Haunted Mansion movie, but I just don't know if it's ever going to happen. It'd be great if it did.
I also think Del Toro is like one who he doesn't seem to like just make movies to make movies. Like, there's a lot of thought and everything behind his process. And I feel like, you know, sometimes I feel like there's certain parts of the Disney stuff that makes movies just to make movies, like just to put stuff out there. So I don't know.
Give an example.
Like how we're getting all the side stuff with Star Wars and like, I don't know, like the extra, like, I don't know. It's all the sequels with their animated movies. It's like, I feel like his scripts and everything are like more thought out, more processed. He takes his time and like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, he's not making a film because he was like, hey, market research showed that this is going to make, you know, a good return. I don't think so. But I don't think other people, when they get hired for a job, they might take a little more pride in just like, well, we've got to make this sequel. You know, maybe they legitimately had a second story, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Brad Bird took how long to make a sequel? Because he said, I'm not going to do it until I get the right story.
Yeah, but we have three Cars movies also. So it's like...
Yeah, they have three Cars movies, yeah. Yeah. It's because John Lasseter loves Cars. He loves that franchise, you know? I don't know. Someone recently tried to tell me that Cars 2 isn't as bad and I should watch it again.
I believe I saw that pop up on the page.
Yeah. I was like, not going to do that. That guy's my supervisor, too. I'm still not going to do it. Talking about movies that are sequels that I actually genuinely think people made because they wanted to. Avengers, that Infinity movie, it's going to be popular, according to the internet. Fandango is saying it is outpacing currently the last seven Marvel films in pre-sales combined, not individually, because Black Panther beat all those films. If you remember recently, Black Panther broke that record for pre-sale. This is already broken Black Panther's record, and I almost said Plaque Panther,
no.
Which is good, which is a good film.
No.
But yeah, it's right now outpacing the last seven Marvel films combined. So if you didn't get your tickets yet, this might be one of those movies where it's like, if you didn't get your tickets, you're not going to see it until the next week. I don't believe that. There's got to be theaters that still have things, but
don't they,
man,
like,
this
also,
is crazy, huh?
Do they also open like some theaters like with showtimes like last minute, like kind of stuff?
I don't know how it works anymore because I never worked at a modern movie theater. I remember when I worked in a theater, if we had a film that all of a sudden was like, oh, wow, we really sold all these out, we have to create new showtimes. Mm-hmm. In the really older time of theaters, we would have to, I didn't do it. They would splice up the film to run through one projector and then go down the hall, like through a series of spools, mm-hmm. and hit another projector in another theater. So the movies would run about a minute behind each other.
Cool.
So then they would sell the 7:30 and then a 7:31 showing. I don't know how that works now with digital. I don't even know if they send them digital copies anymore, if it's downloaded with an encryption key. That was how, that was what was happening when I was leaving.
Yeah.
So I really don't know how that works, but I'm sure that they can throw on additional times if the money is there, or if they have the additional staff to cover it, or whatever it takes.
Some of this pre-sale stuff has to do with the fact that all the theaters are switching to reserved seating, right?
Massive. I think that's a large portion of it, because you want a good seat now. And you can't just get there a day before. Like, camping out is dumb because there's like no point to it. I guess in some spots, maybe it's still a thing where you don't have a theater where it doesn't take seats. But there is the majority of theaters now, it's reserved seating. So yeah, everyone like bought their reserved seat. That's it. I wonder though, if there was no reserved seating, would it still sell as hot? I don't know.
Yeah, that's my question. Cause
I don't know.
I think people are now really starting to catch on to that. Like, you can't show up to a theater and see whatever movie you want. Even if you get an hour early, it doesn't matter. Even on the MoviePass app, we have to look through, and then we go to the theater website and see if there are seats, because you just can't do it anymore. You have to plan like really far in advance if you really want to see it.
Yeah, that I don't want to say pressure, but like that added element of, we need to get good seats because we won't be able to get them on the day of. Like, we have to get good seats now, like literally now, because we choose them.
Which I kind of like, because also like showing up to the theater, like you have to show up so early, and like now with all the nonsense they put before the movie, it's just like you could be sitting there forever, and I don't know, that's annoying.
Melissa, it's just the Eeyore right now.
I am. It's a gloomy day out, and I am embracing my Eeyore.
It's not even that gloomy out.
It's cloudy.
It is up here. She's feeling it. She's feeling it from up this way. Like, we have torrential rain and cold, and
it's coming our way.
Is it nice? Is it nice and comfy?
It is right now. It's not going to be by the end of the day. We've already hit our high for the day. Like, we've hit our high and it's going down. Like, it's over. But no, I'm the same. You know, I'm the same way. Like, I like being able to buy my tickets ahead of time, pick my seats. Also, like, it kind of had that feel of, since I bought my tickets, you know, 6 weeks ago, when I get to the movie, it's like, hey, free movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When did I pay for this? I don't remember. Yeah. No one remembers. I was out with Senor Jimmy Styles a couple days ago, and he covered my meal, and I was like, don't you owe me money? He was like, yes, I probably owe you money for a movie ticket, because we'll buy tickets and just forget.
Yeah.
And then the movie happens and we're like, how the hell did we wind up here? Who did this?
Magic.
So yeah, so Avengers, it's going to make a lot of money. What do you know? Casting news. Guys, we have casting news. We have to talk about this. Mulan. Fa Mulan has three castings that they announced this week. Donnie Yen is playing Commander Tung, who's going to be a mentor of sorts to Mulan. I do not know if that is female Mulan or male Mulan. Not really sure about where that falls.
Didn't we get female Mulan casting?
No. I'm talking about, who's he mentoring?
Oh.
The female Mulan or Mulan in male?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Additionally, Gong Li. It was announced as the villain, who, you know, we're not going to have, what's his name again?
Shan Yu,
not Shere Khan. That's Mortal Kombat. That's what popped in my head just now. That villain is going to be a witch. So we're going to get a little more mystical in this one, I'm assuming, which is fun. Good. I like that.
I think it's going to be, so the way I read that was just, you know, she's going to play a villain role. I suspect there's probably still going to be another villain. Like, there may still be like a Shan Yu type character.
Like a strong arm?
Right. Like, there's like the mystic side, and like then there's like the military side, and like they join forces kind of. I'd almost suspect that's what we're going to see.
Yeah, because you got to have somebody for like, if they're going around like the military aspect of this, like there's got to be something that they're preparing to fight.
Yeah. I hope Donnie Yen's not the bad guy. Like, he's acting like a mentor, and it's like, I'm not.
I hope not. Yeah, I don't want that either.
Then he lightning punches Mulan in the face. No, you know what?
We got to have the Huns. You defeat
them Huns, though.
The Huns.
And finally, in casting news, and this, when I first read this, I was so excited. And then when I read it further, I was like, oh, God, I'm old. Jet Li is in this. Jet Li is playing the Emperor. Pat Morita played the Emperor in the first one. Now it's Jet Li. Jet Li's old enough to play an emperor. What the hell is going on right now? I saw a picture of Jet Li. He looks like he's old enough to play the emperor. He's as old as Jet Li's ever going to look. That's the oldest he'll ever look, because he's going to turn just into gold dust when he passes and then fall, go up into the sky. But yeah, Jet Li's the emperor.
He does look super old.
He doesn't look that, no. He's got to kick someone in the face, though, right?
I would think so. Like all of a sudden, the feeble old man, like, oh, he can't do it. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, and crack.
Yes. I can. Jet Li and Donnie Yen are in a film, and they're not going to fight each other. Like, more than likely, if the emperor starts fighting people, it's not a Mulan film. Like, that's exactly, like, when I thought of this, I was like, cool, Donnie Yen versus Jet Li. I was like, wait, no, that's not this movie at all. It, like, it legitimately is not even, like, their name in the title. It's about Mulan. But this is, I thought it was very exciting casting news. Mulan's turning out to... It's shaping up to be something I'm very interested in, not only because I think Mulan's phenomenal, but it's not just the animated film in live action form. So that's very exciting for me personally. In other news, Ryan's building Legos. This was the other thing I wanted to talk about. You got the Tron Lego, right?
I did.
Did you finish it?
Oh, yeah. It didn't take long.
Okay. Tell me about it.
What would you like to know about it?
I don't. What is it? Is it? It's two different carts, right?
So yeah. So you get Rensler / Tron's light cycle. You get Young Flynn's, Sam Flynn's light cycle, and then there's a base for it, and then they have a Korra minifig, a Flynn, and a Tron Rensler minifig.
How much did that run? $35.
$35.
What did you get it online, or did you go to the store?
The only place I can find it right now is through, like, Lego's website. Like, they keep listing it as exclusive there. So I imagine that. And when I did it, it was like you could only buy one.
Exclusive.
So, yeah, it's exclusive.
I tried to get it good at downtown Disney Springs, and it was sold out. So I'm going to have to get it through the website.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, no, we sold out of that. I was like, oh, I should check on the website, make sure it's not gone. And it's not as of right now. There it is. There it is. You guys can't see this, but I can. Enter the grid.
If it doesn't light up, I don't know if it's worth it.
It doesn't, but it has like those the clear clearish kind of pieces to it that make it look like it when light hits it.
Stick a light thing.
Right, you just put an LED next to it, and it'll be fine.
Should look at this. Look at this next to me. I got to deal with this right now. Man, it doesn't light up. Man. Anyways,
it's worth it.
For our next two little pieces of news, we are actually going to say so long to Courtney Van Rens for a couple of moments, because Courtney is on the no trailer run for everything, like no pre-trailers, nothing. So Courtney, I will give you a signal, a subtle signal, when we're done and you can join back on, okay?
I have a feeling I know what that signal's going to be.
Very subtle.
Anyone else that knows Pete will probably know what it is too.
Subtle.
Okay, all right.
Strong B. So, guys, we had two trailers come out, and I want to talk about them really quick. We had the newer trailer for Solo come out, and it very in line with the first trailer. It's not like they're like, by the way, it's a totally different movie, because this production is a nightmare. But did it get your attention any more or less? Let's save Queen Sunshine for the second one. Ryan, what do you think? How did you like the second trailer of Solo?
Everything the first one kind of got me excited for, the second one kind of took away from me.
How so?
I don't know if it took away. One, there's less Lando in this trailer than there was in the first one, and I think that's part of what my thing was. But I don't know. I just felt like they were opening up areas that. They were trying to go to, you know, I don't know. I have to wait till I see the movie, because I'm going to see it no matter what. But it just felt like it was lacking something. I couldn't figure out what it was. And, you know, you've keenly pointed out that they're showing you in the trailer, like, hey, there's an imminent danger to Chewie. We all know that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like they're showing you, they're trying to embed in you a fear of something that you know can't happen. This isn't like a Star Trek reboot where they can go and do whatever they want. They have a chronology they have to hold to, and putting, you know, showing us Han or Lando or Chewie in danger isn't doing it for me.
Yeah, the Winter Wookiee.
Yeah, the Winter Wookiee
scene was, because that's all I thought of. I was like, someone hanging off a train with their arm. I was like, I've seen this before.
I thought it was like, yeah, Murder on the Wookiee Express is kind of what it looked like. Yeah.
That's such a better movie. Oh my God, that'd be so good if Lando was Poirot.
Yes.
Oh man, that's good. That's good. Ray's just Ray. You already got her cast. I don't know, Ray Jr., whatever you want to call her.
It's her parents that are the slumlords or whatever they were. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, I don't know. That's a weird way to make a trailer look. It's like, will Chewie get out of the situation? Like, of course he will. He legitimately lives longer than everyone else in that damn movie. Mm-hmm. To my knowledge. So yeah, that's a really dumb thing to focus in on.
So that was one of the things. That was one of the things that I just remembered. Almost, you know, the Han dialogue we get doesn't feel like Han dialogue. Like, there's a, you know, there's time between this and when we see him in A New Hope, but to change that drastically, like some of his terminology and some of how he does things, I don't know that there's something drastic enough that makes that shift seem logical in my head.
No, I think it's Emilia Clarke dying.
Yeah, that could be it.
Whoever she is to him, she seems the one that knows him already and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where I thought, and I wrote a thing about this, where you can find it on lastgenpodcast.com in the Disney Magic Hour section. I wrote a thing where, like, she should be the focus of drama for these trailers because everyone knows who she is. Even if they don't know the character in the movie, we know Emilia Clarke. We care about her because we like her in Game of Thrones. It's a dumb thing that we do, but it's what we do. I just want to say everyone drank coffee at the same time just now. All three of you. It was pretty amazing. synchronized coffee drinking. I was very impressed. So I think that she's where that happens. You know, I'm assuming she dies or something. And that's kind of like what makes him turn a cold shoulder. Because, yeah, there's a lot of references in this one trailer. Where it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that thing. You know, he says, you know, got a good feeling about this instead of a bad feeling about this. Yeah. Like, yeah, okay. I don't want that in the movie. But if you make me care about why he has that shift, you could. The runtime came out. They have time for that to matter. It's a little shorter than Last Jedi. So it's a lengthy flick.
So how long is that?
It's about 2 hours and 20 minutes, I believe. Okay. It's right around that area. So they definitely have time, if they build it correctly, that you'll care about certain relationships and then if and how they go by the wayside and make Han more Han. You know, it could be really effective, but the movie's got a lot of question marks as it's, you know, quickly approaching. You know, it's coming up. Melissa, did you care? How was your – I don't even feel like I have to ask you this. What didn't you like?
No, it's not that I didn't like it. Time. No, for me,
indifference.
I don't have like that connection. Like when you were talking about like the Han dialogue, like I have no idea what that means. Like I know he has some of the iconic lines, like punch it or whatever, but like
not anymore. Now it's what is it? It wasn't punch it. That's the funny thing. He doesn't say punch it in the trailer. No. He says like light it or kick it or
something.
Headbutt it. He says something else.
It was close enough.
Buckle up, baby.
Yeah, I'm more interested in Lando and I guess just seeing how it goes with Emilia Clarke in there and stuff. But I mean, if it's fun and the trailer makes it look fun, like I'll be fine.
Does the trailer make it look fun though?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It does. I will say that, you know, the one thing that Star Wars keeps hitting on really well recently is droids. Like, they're really hitting home runs with how they're doing droids and who they're casting as droids.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, and this looks to continue that trend.
Who does the voice for that? Because, man.
It's, I can't remember her name.
It's not going to look interesting, is it?
No, but it's if you've seen Fleabag on Amazon, it's the woman who stars in Fleabag.
Fleabag? Is that a movie?
Yes. No, it's a series.
Okay, I have not seen that.
Do we know what that droid is called?
It's like IP3 or something like that.
Fleabag. Phoebe Waller-Bridge?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, that's
okay,
who I
that's
found.
Her name. Phoebe, I got to look this up. Waller-Bridge. That is a name, folks. I like that name.
Oh, L3 L7?
L3, yes, that's it.
Okay. All right. I mean, she reminded me of HK-47 a little bit from the Knights of the Old Republic's game, yeah. Knight of the Old Republic game.
She was
where
in
they call people meatbag. I like that a lot. I'm hoping she calls a human being a meatbag.
By the way, Fleabag, in case you couldn't tell from the name, don't let your children watch that. That's not an appropriate show for the family.
Okie dokie. All right. Nix that off the family list, which I do not have one. Finally, we have a new trailer for The Incredibles. I want to just talk about that really quick. Further explanation, a little bit of what the plot's going to be. It's going to be really Elastigirl's tale. It's sort of, I think. I don't know. I just hope this isn't, and I said this before, I hope this isn't Incredibles 1 in reverse, where it's Elastigirl gets duped into working for the bad guy, and then Bob has to go save her, because if Bob Odenkirk isn't the villain in this film, then I've made a grave misjudgment in everything that that trailer's telling me. I don't know. Is that a little too obvious?
You know, from everything we know of that, and they've not given us a ton about that character, but everything they've given us about that character, that he's this media mogul and he wants to reimage this.
Yeah.
And then giving you a guy who took over all the airwaves as, what, screenslaver? Like this it seems to me it's Bob Odenkirk as well.
Yeah. A little too on Front Street, I think, with this one. Has a media mogul ever been the good guy in a movie? Like, it doesn't happen. And Cars 3 just sort of did that, where it was like, hey, man, we're going to fix up your image and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, you got to race. You can't let women race. Or however it was done. It would have been good if that was it. Nathan Fillion should have just went full dark side. But, yeah, that was my only thing with the trailer looks great. I like it. The parts that were supposed to be funny are funny. I don't need to be reminded that Lucius's wife is nagging him. I get it. Like, I know that that's for the larger audience, though. But I'm worried that I already, like, I guess we don't really, this isn't a movie where it's like, where's it going to go? But it seemed very, very obvious, like, where it's going to go from that trailer. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the thing where there's going to be more interest is, like, the family dynamic. Like, the kids are now, you know, like kind of pushing back. There's, you know, you have the whole Jack storyline. Like, so there are some newer components into that I think will be interesting.
Yeah, because like in Incredibles 1, like the most we got with like Mrs. Incredible and the kids was like during the plane when they hit out on the plane. And it was just Flash and Violet. Jack was being babysat. So I think this one is going to be, yeah, she's going to be out doing stuff. But I think you're also going to get a lot of Mr. Incredible dealing with the kids, dealing with Jack and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I kind of actually feel like it's going to be more Mr. Incredible focused than maybe you think. You know, then maybe, you know.
We'll find out.
Yes.
If they have a cousin, then you can make a scene where they say Jump and Jack Flash. If the cousin's name is Jump.
It's probably not, though.
I would not put it past anything.
No, I would not.
Yeah.
Not with Brad Bird.
We're 2/3 away from it, from a Jump and Jack Flash thing. Should I subtly signal to the Van Rens back into the party?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Sure.
Hello?
What name was that?
Hi, what happened?
I don't know. I heard some sort of cawing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was like up for a second.
Nope. Don't know what happened.
That wasn't the gesture I was expecting, but I appreciate that one.
All right, well, we're back from Trailer Talk. Trailer Talk. We talked about trailers, two of them in particular. And I say that Jumpin' Jack Flash is a thing. But anyways, don't worry about it. We're going to move on, right?
Yeah.
Ryan.
Yes.
What are we moving on to?
We're going to move on to reimagining the Flower and Garden Festival. When we talked about it, the Flower and Garden Festival briefly, I can't tell you how many shows ago that was because it's been a weird run. But, you know, we talked about how there's a lot of things that are similar every year after year after year. And you know, we kind of started talking about it. And so what would it take to change that up and make it interesting for us again? And that's kind of where we came up with this idea.
All right. So where do we want to start on this? We have a couple of things that we were going to address. I'm going to say right now, I don't know much about flowers. I don't know much about anything, quite frankly. but I have some ideas for other things that I think maybe I can help along in here. But Ryan, why don't you start us off? Like, what was like one of the topics that we were to, you know, discuss about? What would you like to see changed?
So one of the things we talked about were looking at all the topiaries, because it does seem like it's the same topiary. So what would it take? You know, what would we want to change in the topiary world? You know, 3 to 4, you know, different topiaries. If you're putting them someplace where there's already a topiary, like, what is it replacing? Like, what are you taking out? And I'll just run through my list. Like, I want Baymax in Japan. Mm-hmm. For what? Or put it between American Adventure and Japan, because it's San Francisco. Fine. Stick it right there.
I thought the same thing.
Did you really?
Great minds.
Yeah. How about that?
Great minds. The other thing is I thought in Italy, remove Lady and the Tramp. It doesn't really belong there. Put in Pinocchio, Jiminy, Figaro, the Blue Fairy. Throw in that kind of stuff. And then I went really off on side tangents. Like, since Universe of Energy is gone and it's going to be the Guardians of the Galaxy, give me a giant Groot topiary. That's like, make one. A giant Groot topiary.
His arms extending into all the different roots.
Yeah, just let it dig down and go. And then the last one I came up with was I went into Disney. I wanted to do something history because I had to do something history. So thinking about what we have in China where they had that dragon, but instead shifting out into the lagoon and putting one of the, like, making a topiary of the old dragon boats that were in the old Kaleidoscope show, which, if for those of you that don't know, Epcot once upon a time had a daytime lagoon show where you had dragon boats and you had hang gliders and colored smoke and fireworks, and it was chaos to watch, but it was really fun as a kid. And they had these things that were, in, you know, we all know dragon boats is what they really are, but what this literally was a speedboat with a dragon head. And that's what it looked like, a giant dragon head zooming around the lagoon. And apparently, like, there was Mama Dragon and, like, Papa Dragon, and then there were, like, little dragon. It was insanity.
Sure.
But make one of those. Make a topiary that looks like that dragon boat and stick it on the lagoon. Those are my topiaries.
I like those. I like those. Melissa, did you want to go through your topes?
Sure.
Are any of them the color of taupe?
No. So I definitely said to replace Lady and the Tramp with Pinocchio and Jiminy, at least.
Can you say Pinocchio correctly, please?
No. Because I know.
Pinocchio!
There it is.
In France, there's so much more that you can do besides Beauty and the Beast. Also, they've taken out, like, Beauty and the Beast friends. Like, there's no more Chip or Mrs. Potts or Lumiere or Cogsworth. It's just the two of them. So,
that's right.
Yeah. Like, there used to be a ton of other topiaries.
I totally didn't even remember that they're gone. I didn't realize. Yeah.
So, like, if you want to keep a princess there, I mean, they have Sleeping Beauty meet and greet there. I don't know why she's not there. Also, if you want to go big and fantastic, put Maleficent in there, please, if you want to do a dragon.
Got some sass in you this morning, huh?
Yeah, because Sleeping Beauty is underrepresented, and I want her back.
You know what Melissa had to drink this morning? Sarsaparilla.
Oh.
Or if you want to do...
On top of, like, in France, you could put her, like, up top.
Yeah, and then you could have, like, Philip underneath, like, fighting her or whatever.
Like the Lego, but with flowers.
Yeah, but proper.
Ooh, you could cover the, like, take away the Eiffel Tower for Flower and Garden and make that, like, don't take it away, like, right, cover guys, it.
Calm down.
In a Maleficent.
Yeah, no. she's going around the Eiffel Tower. No, I'm liking this. Or you could do the scene where Meriwether, like, changes the rocks into flowers. So there's just flowers coming down when Philip's escaping.
All right.
It works, guys. Or you could do Ratatouille, because, goodness, a giant rat over there
like
would be really
cool. That's
going
to happen eventually, right? When the attraction opens, that would make sense, right?
Yeah.
I think.
The big block of cheese.
I'd put maybe like a genie and carpet topiary in Morocco, because Morocco doesn't have any topiaries at all. And I feel like, come on. Actually, I have to give credit to Steph for this one. She was saying in Japan, you should do a really pretty topiary of Mulan on the bench under the flowering tree.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Like, you could do something really pretty with that.
What if it was just Jet Li as the emperor, though? What if I can just get that? And it's set up that you can make yourself look like you're getting kicked in the face by Jet Li flowers. And I would do that in a second.
I thought over near the land area, because they're putting topiaries everywhere now, you should definitely have a Wally and Eve with the plant.
I have that one down, yeah.
Oh,
that's,
sorry. I have a lot.
I cannot believe that that's not a thing yet.
Yeah, that kind of seems like...
It's a strange omission, yeah. Isn't it? That's like the most obvious one.
And then I said to take out the Cars area and put in Wreck-It Ralph or Incredibles, because you have those two movies coming up, and I think...
Yeah, I had Incredibles too in that area. I was like, you can switch out the Cars thing now.
Or, I mean, if you want to keep Cars, just make them Sugar Rush
Cars. We don't
have
to keep Cars. It's
no,
okay.
I'm saying, like, make them Sugar Rush Cars.
Yeah, sure. Sure. We can make them Sugar Rush Cars. Courtney, did you have any topes? Sweet topes?
I do, and I think I kind of have some weird ones here, you guys.
Mm.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
The X-Men.
X-Men. That's it. The X-Men. Just everywhere. Replace all the topiaries with X-Men.
Xenomorph above Spaceship Earth.
Cool.
So my first one, I don't know how much you could consider this a topiary, but so when you're walking into World Showcase and you go left to Mexico, I want a flower bridge from Coco.
Ooh.
Like on that bridge.
That'd
I want that
nice.
Flower bridge. I think that would be awesome. And then when you see it from the other side of the lagoon too, it would look super, super cool.
Also, people are dead.
But I mean, you're going into Mexico, so it they're putting Coco stuff in there.
No,
or they
that
have,
would be great.
I think that would be really awesome. Right. So that was my first one. And then my second one is, I want the golden afternoon scene in Minnie from Alice in Wonderland in the UK.
Ah, everyone's stealing my stuff.
Did you really
ish,
have that?
Ish. I mean, I'll just piggyback it just while you're on the subject of the UK with Alice. They have the hedge maze.
Yeah.
There should just be like a lot more Alice characters just on the hedge maze.
Yeah.
As you're walking around it.
I mean, rose bushes, like, paint them red. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that was my thing was Alice in Wonderland in the UK for that particular one. But you were saying you wanted the...
I want the golden afternoon scene specifically. So I want cool. Alice, and I want the larger than life flowers made of flowers. Yeah, that's. I think that would be super excellent considering
that the audio belittles you. It's like that tawdy flower.
You walk by and it tells you you're ugly.
Calls you a weed. Like, yeah.
You're a weed. Yep, that's what I want. And then my last one I want the old Epcot Center logo. And I want that right when you walk in. So I want the Epcot Center logo and then the ball right behind it.
That would be cool.
That would be really cool.
Yeah,
they should have done that this year because the 30th. Like they
yeah, the anniversary.
Yeah.
They had Figment pop vinyls, though.
I thought you were going to say they had a Figment topiary. To my response was going to be they have it every festival.
Dreamfinder topiary. Yeah. Right with Figment. That'd be nice.
Or
especially
Figment,
timely this year.
Yeah. Figment in the hot air balloon.
Did you have any more, Courtney? Or
I don't. Those were my three.
Okay. Well, you guys said mostly of mine already. I'll say the one that I can't believe no one has said yet. Bunch of damn fools. I want Ichabod. in the US one with the Headless Horseman chasing him. And of course then in the UK must be Mr. Toad in his motor car or on Cyril, probably on Cyril. I think we can move on from Peter Pan. Or like, if you're going to put something back on the roof of the UK pavilion, Mary Poppins.
Mm.
Have Mary Poppins.
I was
going to
say, or put him in his plane above the pavilion, like make a
his new
Toad
mania.
In his plane. Yeah.
Yeah. That I would like to see that. But my other ones were the Incredibles, I think, should take over what they do with the Cars. It's about time. Wally and Eve, near the land pavilion, just makes the most sense that I can imagine. And, Ichabod and Mr. Toad, and then Alice in Wonderland. Big dream, is if the X-Men do come, like the whole Marvel thing happens, I want Galactus over Spaceship Earth. That's what I want. Like, one-to-one size Galactus head peering over Spaceship Earth as you enter, like, So, if you don't know what Galactus is, just do a search.
I don't know if they could do that out of flowers.
Yes, we can.
Maybe that's a
yes,
festival of the arts
we can.
Thing.
We can.
I also had a a slightly larger than life idea too. That may not be, it wasn't practical, so I didn't really include it in my list.
Mm-hmm.
Since they have all these empty buildings, why don't they make just like a walk-in, like you walk in and it's the ballroom from Beauty and the Beast done out of flowers? Like, why don't they do something
that is large? Yeah,
it's large. I mean, it's not really practical, but it would be really cool to walk into a scene that, you know, something like that, that, you know, and love and is beautiful. And it's just all done.
Or even if they like if you take that idea, but like say they create the scene from Cinderella where they're walking in the garden, you know, like, so it is a garden, but like they recreate that set out of real stuff. Like, yeah, that would be really cool. And yeah, I don't think they're doing anything with that one building during Flower and Garden over by the UK.
I have a suggestion. Maybe I'll throw a little monkey wrench into this. Giant squid. What does everyone think about giant squid? Maybe a submarine?
Where is that going?
That's how I got to Dragon Boat, by the way, because my first thought was Nautilus and a giant squid. And I was like, if I say that, it's too on the nose for me to say that. Oh, the Dragon Boat.
Oh, well, we all know the best idea would be that. So, new topiaries, guys. I liked all your ideas very much so. Love the bridge, flower bridge idea. I just have to figure out a way that people don't trample it, I guess.
Yeah, it would have to be like, it would have to be worked in, and then like it would have to fade into the walkway.
Yeah. Or maybe there's a plastic over what you walk, which is the actual flower bed.
Could be.
You could combine like two ideas. Like you could do like the glitter and paint kind of thing, like the, you know, like where they've had like the forced perspective art on the ground. You could just use that kind of stuff to put over the bridge where you walk over, and then use the old like light arches from the Christmas years and years ago, but do that in the flowers.
Yeah.
I like those arches. I remember those arches.
I also thought, like, why don't we have Moana in America? Because I mean, I know Toy Story is like 100% America, but like maybe a Moana one.
Guess is Polynesia America?
Half of it is. Some of it is.
I mean, and there's plenty of places like where the car stuff is, where they used to put the fairy gardens, where, you know, make one of the playgrounds island theme and do that. I mean, there's options.
There's so much more they can do than the same thing they've been doing every year. That's pretty much the message on this one. We've seen the same ones for years after years after years, and we don't get paid for this. And this was a very – like, I didn't have to think about these. This was just like, well, duh, you can do these. Yeah. Like, and they're, you know – they're just as – they're the same design. You know, Wally and Eve especially, it's like, this, you know, we can do this, guys. Come on. Make Flower and Garden something that I care about again.
Yeah, because they're not, like, legit growing those things all the time. Like, they have, like, stuff they stick in, right?
Here's a strawberry thing. It was so – it's a smart, great idea, and he's gone.
Like we said, they cut down, like, you know.
They have cut down,
You, like, have Beauty and the Beast, but, like, their friends aren't there. So, like, you have Woody, but, like, Lotso isn't there. You know, they threw Buzz is over,
yeah, with the space. Mission spacing.
Yeah.
What other categories did you have in there, Ryan? I believe one of them was the New Gardens.
So, there were New Gardens, Marketplaces. What would you do with the concert series? And then they also, like, we probably should go to, like, the shake-up thing. Like, how would you really shake up the festival? I think that builds off of Courtney's idea of, like, having these unused buildings and going in and doing that kind of stuff. For me, in that kind of area, I went back to thinking about what's working at other festivals and how could you modify it. And the thing I really like from the Festival of the Arts, or one of the things I really like, is that paint-by-number aspect that they have. Like, you get your paint, you go, you paint the mural. They do that great topiary bed around the lagoon between Future World and World Showcase. Why not say, okay, like, these, you know, these are the plants, this is where you square, you know, they have the squares all lined out. They replant that 2 to 3 times per festival. So let the guests be the ones who help you go and replant. Like, here's your one plant, this is where it goes, you know, and then you go and you put it in that number spot. And the other thing I would do that to shake up the festival is I would cut it back to, you know, 2 to 2.5 months at tops. Right now, it's starting in February and going to the end of May. I'd move it back to really just the springtime, like middle to end of March through the end of May.
I have something we can throw in.
What?
A bee tent. Hear me out. Not wasps, bees. It's a larger tent. There's bees in there. And you just can't look at any of them in the eyes. They just attack. You want to shake
Have
things
you been
up?
Watching the X-Files movie recently? Is that where this came from?
Bees tent. I want a bees tent. I actually do think that they should have something. They did the whole honey pavilion. Mm-hmm. I understand you don't want people near bees. It's a bad idea. But if you had a thing where you could show people working on a bee thing, like an actual like habitat, what do they call them? The little
the
bee boxes.
Beekeepers?
Yeah, like beekeepers or something. You know, I don't know. I thought that would be something interesting.
Yeah, like a demonstration, like where the honey comes from or something like that.
Yeah. I once, this is really kind of where this came from. I once had, now this is not the right version of this. I once had a hornet's nest build itself on a window of my apartment. And I was able to look in the hornet's nest until fear overtook me and I set it on fire from the outside. But before that, it was fascinating. So I don't know if you can build a honeycomb or something like 3/4 where someone could actually view the inside. I don't know if that's something you could do. But anyways, I just thought you could expand on that whole honey pavilion a little bit more. Make it a little more of a thing. And even if it's just that they have honeycombs up there, so I don't know, some kind of interactive thing where Pooh Bear is there. Like, that's where you put a Pooh Bear thing. Put it in the honeycombs. That then frees up space in the UK. And you can do other things because there's so many characters for Disney in the UK. That was my thing. I thought they could expand a little bit more on the honey thing because I thought that was a very successful pavilion so far.
Yeah, it was one of my
favorites. Very popular. A lot of the food people really like very much. And there's room that you could do more in that little area. So that was my legitimate like thing. I feel like you can expand on that a little bit more because they've hit a little a good note over there with that specific addition this year. So, but bees and the Nicolas Cage.
No.
Oh no, not the bees! See, it comes back to Wicker Man.
With music from Sting, is that what we're gonna go with?
Like with music from Sting. Why isn't there a Cuscotopia just of flowers?
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
That'd be pretty sweet. Melissa, what do you got there?
I had two kind of interesting ideas. One of them, I thought you could have like people do like the Zen gardening thing. You know, like they show us all the bonsais and like the sand and everything, but like you could actually have people do it. Like I think that would be pretty cool, because I do feel like more hands-on stuff I feel like is needed, and for me to not pay $100 for that would be really great. Also,
do you just like from a person thing, do you want kids with a rake?
It can be little.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, beat them over their you know friend's head, that's fine, sure, let's go for it. Liability won't be a problem. There was a place there's a place in Toronto, a museum that does this, and I think this would be really interesting, kind of taking on Courtney's idea of like big spaces.
Hockey.
No.
Oh. Sorry.
It's a music garden with like an audio guide, so the garden matches the music. So they do it a lot to classical music, and like as you're going through certain pieces, you know, the gardens change and they reflect what's going on in the music. So what? You're looking at me.
I'm listening.
So yeah, I thought that would be really good because you don't necessarily have to have audio guides. You can just have the music piped in, and just, you know, as you're walking, you have a certain feel of the music, and like the plants would change depending on.
May I suggest something?
Yes.
Fantasia Gardens.
Yes. That's okay. What I wrote down. Very Fantasia-like.
Okay.
So yeah. I don't know why that's not like a thing.
Yeah. I only had one thing for my shakeup, and it's going to sound a whole lot more like a complaint.
Not enough bees.
Not enough bees. That was it. Right. I'm not being stung enough at Disney. That's my complaint. My complaint / shakeup is they have these three different festivals that they do now. If you're going to have those three different festivals, make them discrete festivals. So if it's a flower and garden festival, make it a flower and garden festival. I think that's probably part of the reason we have less topiaries, is because they have so much focus on all these extra food booths, marketplaces, all this stuff. If you made it about flower and garden, you could focus way more on the topiaries. Because I noticed when I went this year that I, like, the topiaries were secondary for me, which if it's flower and garden, it should, that should be the focus. So stop worrying about food so much. You can eat 8,000 places in Epcot, in World Showcase. So I don't think that that needs to be such a big focus. I would just make it, I would go back to it being about flower and garden and not a combination of flower and garden and food and wine.
Because even if, like, I think there was a point where they had, like the specialty booths for flower and garden, like the honey one, you know, so it's not tied to a country. It's tied to, like, that idea of, you know, harvesting honey and, like, blah, blah, blah. So you have, like, that theme kind of goes with that booth. And I prefer, yeah, if you're going to have food, because flower and garden, gardening obviously comes from, you know, you make food out of your garden. So, like, I appreciate when they do kind of fun stuff with that. But I agree. Like, yeah, cut down on the booths. Like, not every country also needs a food booth. Like, you can.
I love. I know it won't I agree happen. With both of you, but you know they're never going to do that because that's how they make money.
No. I know.
Yeah. And also,
no, I mean, even to make that point, we have a passport that we've looked at for, you know, our upcoming trip. I have my topiary list. I know I'm going to go take photos of all my topiaries. But what we spent the most time doing is going through all the menus and going, I want to go eat this. Yeah. I want to go eat this. And it does. It tends to move you away from that. But Pete, you're right. They're not going to ever move away from it.
They're never going to change it. Also, if there's going to be a specialty booth, there should be one called specialty and they just sell tea. Duh.
Well, yeah, that was
specialty.
Wait, is there one that already does that?
No.
There should be.
Not yet. That's there in the really marketplace area.
So, yeah, I honestly... For me, the flower and garden just needs a refresh on the actual flower and garden portion of things because the music, the concert series is something else. I think people really enjoy that. It's just not for me. It's not my kind of music. It's a lot of like 80s pop music that like, hey, remember that one song? Like, yeah, I do remember that one song. And 45 minutes, others, I don't need it. It's not my thing. But my only suggestion would be for like maybe less one-hit wonders, more Disney, but that's sort of the Disney Broadway series. So I don't want that to become a thing that's, hey, it's all the time and it's less special now.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with the concert series as is. It's not my thing, but I don't think I'm the aim. So, you know, keep on keeping on. But yeah, I want just the visuals of Flower and Garden and the Christmas party and the Halloween party to get a refresh in the way that Disney should be doing it. It's just no reason for, especially with the Christmas and the Halloween parties, to be as stagnant as they have become. You know, I understand it's a tourist park. Not everyone gets to go every year, and that's part of why they don't have to change it. But man, it's very, very boring to me. But seeing less topiaries and just the exact ones, less of the exact ones this year was very, very off-putting. I was like, oh, well, I guess really they just want the food and beverage money, and that's really all it is. The rest is just sort of here for the sake of still being able to call it a flower and garden fest and not just what you want to call it, which is food and wine extended, you know, Fast and Fury wine.
No.
It's a good movie, guys.
No.
Fast and Furious 1. Oh, man. Guys, any others? Any other suggestions?
You know, I think building off a couple of the other ideas, like the only thing I had for the concert series, because once upon a time, that was a, you know, the flower power. Like that was like the 60s, like early 70s. It was that kind of music. It's not that anymore. You turn it into something like, you know, like we talk about, like with the sound garden, like with the musical garden. You know, make it something where you have, you know, an orchestra, you know, part of an orchestra or a quartet or big band or something like that. And then you can get picnic boxes of, you know, like they used to do a la Fantasmic or when they did the picnic in the park with Animal Kingdom. And you can kind of get your, you know, you get your little box and you can go, you can listen to some of this in a garden and have your meal.
I mean, one of the best shows that we've seen in the last couple of years, I thought was that Pixar music show that we saw at Hollywood Studios. And that was, you know, the thing that made that really special was the full or semi-full orchestra. however many people were part of that. But that was really, really great. That was a standout thing that they've done.
Yeah.
And it was the live music that really made part of it. And, you know, not hearing the song sung so much, it's just, you know, the music, the orchestral part of it. That would be great. Yeah, I would love to see that in a bit of a larger sense, maybe over at Flower and Garden. That would be good. I don't know. When I think of the words Flower and Garden, I think of classical music, you know, not...
Yeah.
You know... Yeah.
Smash Mouth?
Not Smash Mouth. Oh, God. Sweet Jesus. People went to that thing. Someone I know went to that thing. And they were Smash Mouth.
You're an all-star.
Oh. Am I? I'm going to swallow this glass.
Get your game on.
Look, guys, I love Shrek as much as everyone else, but the highlight of that movie was not the credits. All right, so hey, there's our suggestion. What are your suggestions, guys?
Wait, go over. Are we done?
Are we? No, we're not done. Melissa, go ahead.
Yeah, no. I have other things.
I want the sun to be brighter.
That too. No. No, we talked about, okay, I didn't have anything for the concert series, but we talked a little bit about the marketplaces. Like, I had ideas for marketplaces.
Marketplaces. So you want more food and wine.
Well, I want more specialty ones. Like, if you're going to go, like, Flower and Garden, you should go Flower and Garden. So I think there should be a thing in the UK where they have, you know, like, the little sandwiches that they have for tea time. And you
specialties.
No. No.
What kind of sandwiches?
Tea and sandwiches.
Tea and sandwiches. All right. What's an example of one of those sandwiches?
Like cucumber sandwiches. Like the little sandwiches they make for tea.
Okay. I don't know these things. I don't drink tea.
Yeah. Or for tea parties.
I don't, I've never been to one. I don't know what they serve.
Tea party in the garden with little sandwiches.
Okay. A cucumber sandwich. What's in a cucumber sandwich? Just a piece of cucumber?
Cucumbers, yes.
Is that it, literally? Is that what a cucumber sandwich is, everybody?
I think there's some sort of sauce on it.
Like cream cheese or, yeah. Like with dill and yeah.
Is it good? Has anyone
had one? The ones I've had have been fine.
Melissa?
How do you make them?
Have you had one?
I've had some, yeah.
Yeah? All right.
I want a booth that's all about nuts because you could do fun stuff with that.
I have a name.
What?
Fun with nuts.
Yeah, fun with nuts. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Yeah. Shake them up, maybe. Shake the nuts. Maybe shake up these nuts.
How about these nuts?
That's too on the nose. You're very vulgar.
There you go. Also, I think, like, you know, you have the pineapple.
Jimmy Styles appreciated that.
You have, like, the pineapple promenade. Like, I think they should take certain fruits or vegetables and make, like, a booth focused on them.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Why is there not an orange booth?
I don't know. Aren't you upset about that?
I am.
I would love an orange booth.
I know.
What isn't an orange booth? Aren't a creamsicle?
Yeah.
Orange flavored creamsicle? Naturally flavored creamsicles?
It's the citrus swirl with alcohol in it. That's what they're going to add alcohol to your citrus swirl.
There you go.
Sure. Yeah.
Alex.
Can I get the non alcoholic version?
No.
Yes.
Very well. Sold.
So, yeah, I would want them to kind of do more specialty stuff with the marketplace booths.
Okay. What else you got in there? I see something else there.
Yeah, well, Ryan had asked us for new types of gardens.
So gardens.
I had new types of gardens.
What type of gardens?
Apparently, there's a big thing on Wikipedia that you can go down the rabbit hole, which I did.
On what subject?
On gardens. There's like a ton of different types of gardens. So I think they should do like an urban garden area. Like, I haven't seen any real thing with that. They had like a little bit of that. This year where they like put gardens in those big cement blocks.
You mean Brooklyn?
Yeah.
No, like what is it? Yeah, okay. So tell me about that, urban gardens.
Yeah, like or just like how to save space with a garden. You know, they do a lot of stuff with that in the land. So like bring that out. Like, okay, you have an apartment, but you want a garden. Like here's a hanging thing that you can, you know, grow your tomatoes on. Here's like little pods that you can grow herbs in inside, you know, that you don't have to necessarily even have a deck for. You know, so you can do like a lot of different stuff with that.
Okay. There's a specific term on your list. I have to find out what it is.
What?
What the hell's a rock garden?
It's made of rocks.
Oh, man. Yes, I figured that. But like, what is a rock garden?
It is. It's made of rocks. So like different shape rocks, positioned different ways. Like
a Zen garden sort of thing?
Kind of, but with bigger rocks. Like Zen is very small and sand.
Okay. Oh, all right. I'm looking at pictures of rock gardens right now, guys.
Yeah.
You can't put this many rocks in front of people. You out of your goddamn mind.
Well, it could just be like a showpiece that's like on the side.
From
like
a very far distance that's protected by plexiglass. No, these are pretty cool. One of them looks like a grave. Looks like a hunter died in a RPG game and they're like, gather rocks. Like, we shall bury him here. All right, cool. Rock gardens.
And I think a big one that they are missing with the kids is the sensory garden.
The rock garden?
Yes, that one most. No, but the sensory gardens, because like you have a lot of kids, you have a lot of special needs kids. Like, that's a big thing that I think that you can definitely work with.
Again, I don't know. What's a sensory garden?
It touches all the senses. So like you can put bamboo in for sound, you know, and you like you play with that, or water for sound, or you do water for touch, you know, and you're feeling, you know, that, or sand and stuff like that. So like it's something that, you know, you have certain spices, like a cinnamon plant that deals with the with smell, you know. So it's like all the senses.
I want a cinnamon plant.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like in my when I taught preschool, we would have like lemon, you know, like lemon mint, like or whatever that's called, on the ground, so like the kids could like kind of crawl through it, and they touched it, they would activate the scent, and so they could kind of they would get it that way. And that was actually the garden that I like my proposed garden with a diverse abilities garden. You know, you have raised beds, low maintenance plants, you know, adaptive tools that are out there now, things that, you know, help with, you know, across all age spectrums with fine motor skills and socialization for kids, you know, for, you know, when you have individuals with autism, you know, it helps with stimuli, you know, like the reduction in how they get agitated with stimuli, it internalizes some of the routines of being able to do something repetitively. It really is a great garden that's not highlighted there.
Yeah, and I think if you like then like did like a little demonstration on like this is how you can bring this home, like then you have those parents who are, you know, would be like, oh, this is great. Now I can bring something with my kid, do it at home, continue this whole thing, and, you know, get them into something that, you know, you leave Disney with something more than just like, we saw Mickey, you know, like.
It's a pretty good thing, though.
Yeah.
That sounds good. How would you this is, you know, just coming from a purely I'm just asking. Okay, so sometimes, you know, people with special needs, they might take their time a little bit more. And regular people who are visiting Disney are not interested in using the words take my time ever. Would you create two paths?
Or you can just have it be like a big area, like the play area. And like, yeah, you can have like multiple stations set up.
All right, so not so much like a path, but more of like an area that you walk into?
Yeah.
All right, okay, all right. That works a lot better in my head.
Like the butterfly gardens or like the playground.
Yeah, okay, so the butterfly gardens where you have multiple paths you can take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can spend as much or as little time as you want in any specific area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, cool. All right, what else you got there?
Just other things. Like, I would love to see more rose gardens. Like, I feel like the traditional stuff isn't really, you know.
What's traditional?
Like, a rose garden is traditional, in my opinion. Like,
you don't think it's represented as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, they have a lot of flowers, but, like, I would just like to see, like, a lot of, like, well, I don't even think they
have. I don't think they have a lot of garden, actually, yeah. I don't really think they have much of that, as a matter of fact.
Honestly, I'd like to just see also, like, a lot more from the land brought out, like, the hanging gardens, the how to save space gardens, like, you know, just the things that, like, I feel like they kind of feature in, especially that last section of the land where it's like, look at all this innovative stuff that's been here for 20 years. Like, okay, like, bring it out. Outside.
What about an oasis in Morocco where you actually have to walk through a mile of desert before you get there? So you really appreciate it.
They're going to put you out like on the road behind Epcot.
Yeah.
Like you have to walk through that.
It's like, get to your car. I'm like, oh my God, there'll be a glass of water waiting for you.
You know, with the Rose Garden, it actually, I just thought of this. They used to have the Plaza Rose Garden. Like, there used to be a Rose Garden in the Magic Kingdom.
Oh. Yes.
And that was an award-winning garden. I'm certain they didn't just shred those plants. But where are those? Like, why couldn't they have rolled those over to Epcot?
Yeah.
When did they leave?
With the hub expansion?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you could have a very pricey wedding in that Rose Garden if you wanted.
That's good to know.
Yeah. I could not do that.
Melissa, anything else from your list of lists?
No, I think that's pretty much all.
Courtney, did you have any more in your list of lists?
I do.
Tell me about it.
The garden I want to add, I don't know how feasible it would be, but I want a giant sunflower garden.
Mm.
And sunflowers are kind of a fall thing, though. So, again, like Pete, I don't know the ins and outs of growing plants, but I'm sure Disney can figure it out. So I want a giant sunflower garden. I love sunflowers. And I mean, to have like, you know, 8-9 foot sunflowers that you walk into, it would be like a visual piece. And it would just be really awesome to walk into that. And I think along with that, they could grow giant pumpkins and cool shaped gourds, mm-hmm. and kind of make it a sort of a fall harvest garden. But it would be a really cool, I think, visual.
Yeah, I mean, they do that in the land. They make Mickey-shaped watermelons and stuff in the land. Like, why is it just in the attraction? Bring it out.
Well, what if that sort of was a little bit more of a motif that's featured in Flower and Garden? I mean, Food and Wine.
I mean, that would be fine. I don't care if it goes there. I just want a giant sunflower garden. I just want the sunflower. I don't care. I don't care where they are. And then the only other thing I had was a marketplace I would add, but again, I think this is something that could go for just Epcot all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to make a gourmet burger stand.
Mm.
You can't get a good burger, really. I mean, I think they have a burger in Le Cellier, but I don't go there for a burger.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to get that reservation anyway to go there. So I would like a gourmet burger stand. Maybe they do different kinds of burgers, so you can have regular beef, you can have bison, you could have a portobello mushroom, you could have a black bean burger. So you have all different, you know, protein options. And then maybe you do different toppings themed after the countries of World Showcase. So you could do a Norway burger, you could do a Mexico burger, you could do a France burger. I'm not a chef either, so I don't know the ins and outs of what you'd put on them, but if you could do them themed after each of the countries too, or, you know, just put whatever toppings you want on it. But a good burger would be that'd be an addition to Epcot in general.
What if it was just literally Good Burger?
Sure.
Like if they just opened a Good Burger in there.
Only if you had Kenan and Kel working it.
What was that, Courtney? I'm sorry.
I said Home of the Good Burger.
Home of the Good Burger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I feel the America Pavilion could do. We've said that before. I think like we could definitely do with some better food at the America Pavilion. And a good burger joint, a good barbecue joint would be right up that alley. I think that would fit that need quite well. Was there anything else on your list, Court?
That's it.
No? Mr. Wilson, what else you got there? I know you got more.
I got one thing, and it was a marketplace. And thinking about, you know, how we've gone to all these small plates and all these, dim sum really isn't featured anywhere. And so, like, having things like, where you could get like spinach or mushroom dumplings or scallion pancakes or vegetable spring rolls, like rolling the garden elements into the dim sum. And I know it's not a popular opinion, but get rid of the frushi.
Mm.
You know, maybe, I don't know. That's my idea.
Yeah, that's right. They do still have that. And yeah, I'm fine with losing that. That's whatever. It's just fruit cut into shapes. That's all it is, right? Isn't that really all it is?
Yeah, like coconut rice with like little bits of fruit in it or something. Yeah.
I mean, it was a cool idea, but like there's other stuff you can do. Like, you know, give me some new stuff.
Yeah, it was cool like 5 years ago. It's repetitive now.
All right, guys. Well, that's our thoughts on Flower and Garden. So a lot that we would like to see changed and plussed, I guess, is the term that we must use when talking about things at Disney. A new coat of paint is needed over here. I don't know if the numbers show that. I'm sure they don't. But hopefully we'll get something a little newer coming down the pipe the next couple of years on this. Melissa,
yes.
Do we have a revue?
We do.
A revue?
It is from Woodrow 1236. Pretty freaking magical.
Mm, Woodrow Wilson.
Just started listening this week, and I've been nonstop listening to these podcasts all day in the office. I love listening to anything Disney, and this show is super enjoyable to listen to. It's funny, and I always learn something new. The first episode I listened to was the latest one with Raleigh Crump, and the entire time I was just wishing I were at Disney World. Keep it up, y'all. Rock.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm happy that you're enjoying it. Thank you so much. I'm happy you discovered it. That's awesome. And the Raleigh Crump interview was pretty goddamn special. I was very happy with that. Very happy indeed. Friends, what an afternoon we've had. We've talked about things. We've reviewed things. Vin Diesel's giant head was part of them. The words family came up. What else came up?
The giant head of Galactus.
Galactus head. All right. Legos. Trailers, which will not be mentioned in front of Miss Renz. Van Renz. Not just Miss Renz.
It's not just Miss Renz, but that happens all the time.
Does it happen all the time?
Yeah. When we go to a bar,
it's
either under Van or Renz. We have to tell them that both times, and they look at us like...
Do people think your middle name is Van?
People that... You would be surprised how many people get very confused if Van is in a name. They automatically go, I can't speak whatever's after this. I don't know how to pronounce it. And they just quit.
You should change it up. Go with Courtney Winnebago Renz and see how they react.
Yeah, it might be different.
Yeah.
Everyone recognizes a Winnebago. Recognizes a Winnebago.
Mulan made an appearance today. And of course, Flower and Garden all over this place. Bees, rocks. All the things you think of when you think of Flower and Garden. I actually really, really like the idea of the sunflowers. Mm. I really like that idea. That would be really cool to walk into and then get lost.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe get found. We don't know.
Maybe.
There's multiple paths. But hey, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Reseeding the Flower and Garden Festival. Should we use NPR voices on the way out?
No.
We should. Should we do that? Ryan, do you want to say anything else to the listeners at home?
No, I think we've done an excellent job today.
Great. Courtney, how's everything going over there? Do you want to say goodbye?
You know, I just want to wish everyone just a lovely, lovely week. Thank you for joining us today. We are just so delighted that you were here with us.
Delightful. Delightful. Melissa, tell me about your weekend. What are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to go enjoy the sunshine and hopefully see some flowers.
Great. And gardens?
Maybe.
Maybe and gardens. What are we doing next week, guys? Do we know? Seriously, what the hell are we doing next week?
Marvel.
Okay. NPR voices. Next week, we're going to have some special guests on, and we're going to have a Marvel Madness. That's we're so wacky. A Marvel Madness bracket. And we're going to put all the Marvel films up against each other until they're a bloody heap of flesh and only one lives. That's next week. We're going to have guests on the show, I believe. I haven't asked them yet, but I'm really hoping that they don't have too much to do next weekend because I forgot to ask them just a couple of days ago. So next week, Marvel Madness bracket, and then Infinity Wars. And that's where we're going. So this episode of Disney Magic Hour, it's been brought to you by MEI Travel. For all your vacation planning needs, for visiting Walt Disney World, taking a cruise, or traveling to your local farmer's market, you should visit the experts over at MEI-travel.com, where Becky and her team, they can get you started on your own adventure. Doesn't that sound great? That sounds great. Sounds great. Right now, you're listening to There You Are. You can find this track on soundcloud.com/PogoMix. His website, it's pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at DizMagicHourPod. That's D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. You have to say it as one complete thing, Magic Hour Pod. We're on Facebook, Disney Magic Hour. It's so comfortable there. It's so comfortable. It's a sweet 73 degrees all the time. We're on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher. Sounds terrifying. Melissa, where can people find photographs of gardens and rocks and also Patreon?
On Instagram, we're at Disney Magic Hour Podcast. And on patreon.com/DisneyMagicHour is where you can find it.
That's just your normal voice. I'm very disappointed.
That's okay. I can't.
You're pretty much, your NPR voice is pretty much your voice. So, guys, that's the end of the show this week. We'll be back next week. Marvel Madness and huzzah. Melissa, say goodnight.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Courtney.
Good night, Courtney.
Ryan, before you say goodnight, tell everyone where they can find the Main Street Gazette and then say goodnight.
They can find the Main Street Gazette at mainstgazette.com. You can search Maine ST Gazette at Twitter or Instagram. And even though Disney executives cringe when they hear us say it, this is MSG.
I love it. Say goodnight, Pogo. Wait a minute. Goodnight, Pete. Say goodnight, Pogo. See you guys next week. Marvel Madness. Go out there and throw some rocks in the garden.